to the Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show. 7:36 a.m. in the morning. Brought to you by United Healthcare. Julie Morial and your United Healthcare family. Don't leave home without a quality, affordable healthcare coverage. Call your United Healthcare representative, man, for quotes. Just for information, man, they'll talk to you about what you need for your life, how it fits. And also, thank you to the Greater New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Commission and Mark Romig and the Marketing Commission family, man. How do you think we get 8 to 10 million visitors in this little town, man? It's the work of the Marketing Commission, those who sell it, the culture and the beauty of this spot. Man, great shout out to Anton Muhammad, the little boy, the little Christian boy with the Muslim name, man, doing big things in this country. His book, Heartcore. It's an easy read, right? It's such an easy read that, you know, he'll take you from step by step, man, all the way from Heartcore Chapter 1, Defining the Core, all the way to Heartcore Leader Commandments, chapters like Driven, Desire of the Heart, and then type of balance you need to survive. Great little book. I'm going to read it today. Right. I'm going to read it today. It's one of those things that you need. And in the book, but in the studio with me right now, Mr. 411. Mr. 411. Right. Mr. Think504.com. Well, Mr. 411 is Jock.
His Jock. Don't take Jock's name.
His Jock.
That's right.
You know, we all got go-to folk we call. Hey, look,
right.
I'm trying to figure out the meaning of life. I'm calling 411. I'm calling Jock. Jock can say, hey, look at me. I was up studying it all night last night.
and I figured
it out, OT.
And he will have the answer for you.
And the beauty about Mr. 411 is that he will have an answer for you. Now, I don't know about everybody else.
Right.
But I got the 411 on how you figure out yours.
He's amazing that he sends text messages right at the moment you're thinking about something.
Right.
I don't know. There's something.
Making you think. Well, they got some special people in this world. One size does not fit all.
That's right.
Man, right here, man, with Jeff Thomas, man. Jeff, first of all, you and I, we talk during the course of the month. We talk leading up to elections.
We did.
And we were talking yesterday. No real surprises.
Yeah.
Nobody's predictions really came true, to be honest with you.
That's right.
And the way, you know, and the way you laid it out to me was that there was more that could have been done. I think the American people sent more of a message than any other political parties.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody was, the Democrats were hoping for this blue wave. That didn't quite happen.
Didn't happen.
They took control of the House of Representatives.
But it was a small margin, though.
Yeah, but it's a big thing. It's important, particularly for our state.
Right.
And for Cedric Richmond, who's head of the Congressional Black Caucus. And now he might be up for minority whip. I mean, he could take Steve Scalise's spot. That would be amazing.
James Claiborne was that in the past.
That's right. And even if he doesn't get to be majority whip, he will be at a plum seat for one of the committees in the House.
And Jeff, talking about the ascension of Congressman Richmond and what that means, let our listening audience know, even if he doesn't have one of the top three positions, the way he has positioned himself in terms of respect and leadership, what does that mean for the people of the 2nd Congressional District and the people of New Orleans?
Well, exactly right. He'll be able to bring home the bacon even more. His clout nationally is rising. You know, the Democratic Party is looking for new leadership. The Democratic Party is looking for young African-American leadership. Mm-hmm. He fits that bill. I expect his great things to come from our congressman, and he is on the rise nationally. What that means, though, is that locally, you know, when we talk about protecting the coast, when we're talking about FEMA, and we still have some issues with FEMA.
Absolutely.
He will be able to make things happen for different parts of the community.
Infrastructure. Federal funding.
I'll give you a good example. He's working on something. My alma mater, St. Aug, is one of these schools that had to take some FEMA funds. I mean, it is a huge loan that they took. Now, Dillard, Xavier, all of those schools got their loans forgiven. St. Aug's still fighting that fight. I think the congressman is going to take that up, and I'm hopeful that, you know, the school will be able to get that loan forgiveness.
Sean Jackson, Gene Joseph on Facebook Live. Man, we got Jeff Thomas in the studio with us. I want to get back to the conversation about the predictions. Nancy Pelosi made some bold predictions. I happen to think she's at the end of her Potentially, but you can never count Nancy out.
Nor Meta,
fantastic woman. But it wasn't quite the margin that they thought, given Trump's unpopularity in Democratic areas and in some moderate areas. And Jeff, you explained to me yesterday the reason why you thought it wouldn't be the wave is that there's still a lot of work that the Democratic Party has to do.
Messaging is the biggest problem that the Democratic Party has. And this actually, to me, Donald Trump won big last night. Frankly, Donald Trump won big, and
if you look, our listening audience, you may not want to hear that, mm-hmm. but if you want to keep it real mm-hmm. and keep it 100, he did politically. He did.
People like Ron DeSantis in Florida and potentially Brian Kemp in Georgia ran Trumpian style campaigns. I mean, they ratcheted up his rhetoric. Right. I mean, DeSantis was racist in his campaign messaging. I mean, he monkeyed up things and everything else that he.
I love what Gillum said. I'm not saying you're racist,
but I'm saying the racist thinks you're racist. Right,
that's an all-time classic in politics. Now.
That was great. Unfortunately, it didn't carry him over the goal line, and because Trump stumped
because
heavily.
He got the racist out.
Trump was able. I mean, this whole identity mm-hmm. politics is winning.
And in the key states, you can give every. But in the key states, when you talk about Electoral College,
Florida,
talking about voting,
third most popular
Florida,
state,
Trump did well.
Yeah, and
April Baloney.
And so what's happening is this identity politics is growing. Mm-hmm. Identity politics is not necessarily a good thing for us.
Right.
And this is potentially devastating for. What happened yesterday, frankly, with the Senate picking up, the Republicans picking up two seats
in the Senate.
It's devastating. Let me tell you what we're not talking about. I haven't heard a lot of mention on our station, on WBOK.
Right.
And that is, you know, with the Supreme Court nomination mm-hmm. with, what's his name, Kavanaugh. That brought a lot of attention to the Supreme Court. But you know, what's happening is the federal judiciary is being filled by conservative, young, white men who are going to be, who've been appointed for life. And now Trump, he used to have to worry about, you know, medium, not hardcore right-wing Republicans giving him some pushback on his nominations. Now he doesn't have to worry about that. He is able to fill the federal courts with right-wing, conservative, white men. That's who he's appointed.
And many of the Democrats who won, they won in borderline districts, so they can't be too far to the left.
That's right.
Or they jeopardize their reelection in the next 2 years, which seems to come around often. Jeff, the other thing that you talked about yesterday was that if the Democratic Party really wants a wave, the type of wave, mm-hmm. they have to begin to show people what they get in terms of their lives, and not just being against someone, but what they're for in terms of the people who've been locked out and left out of the system. Explain that, Pete.
Well, messaging is important in mm-hmm. politics, and messaging. Mm-hmm. Listen, when President Obama was in power. The Republicans were the party of no. When you are not in power, when you are the minority party, you have to have clear, concise messaging to sway voters to come to your under your tent. The Republicans have strong messaging. We want no immigrants. We want strong borders. We want strong security. We have identity politics. We want to make America great again. We want to do all of these things. We want to have a strong economy. Oh, you're putting me back on Facebook. I'm
Jeff
sorry,
Thomas,
people.
think504.com.
He did it to you.
Yes, I did it.
But what the Democrats have to do is bring about messaging that resonates with people. Messaging about the one message that they tried to hang their hats on was pre-existing conditions with health care. And that's a strong message. Mm-hmm. And health care, I think, is a strong message that they can rally around. They have to bring in the kind of messaging that rallies people to their cause again and to their side again.
Jeff Thomas, is it safe to say that the Democrats can't just use "we're not them anymore"?
Yeah.
They can't just say "we're not the Republicans," "we're not the racist," "we're not the sexist." That's not good enough anymore.
It never has been, and that's part of the reason that you and I have had this conversation in the past, and you talk about it all the time, that politicians tend to over promise and under-deliver. Mm-hmm. And because of that, people are turned off by politics. And because of that, people listen. Every time somebody runs for office, they're going to clean up crime. Everybody's going to have a job. The world's going to be
Vote
a better place.
Vote for me, I'll set you free.
And it never happens. And so people now, politicians have, you know, like lawyers, I mean, they're politicians' jokes. The point is that because politicians have not delivered real because change is hard, because you can't change systems overnight, because you can't make monumental changes that comes incrementally.
Now, listening to most of the pundits last night on the stations and talking to you and kind of looking at some of the results, mm-hmm. explain our listening audience. And Dr. Ed Chervenek is going to be with us, guys. He was on all night last night contributing to our local media, one of the best. It's going to be interesting to get him and Jeff's take on this. They're saying that Trump won. Explain, and we'll have Dr. Chervenek chime in on that. Explain in your take, Jeff, why was it that Trump won?
Every year when every midterm election right. for the last 20 years, the president that's in power loses seats.
Right.
And that happened again. So it was anticipated that he would lose seats. It was anticipated that he would lose the House. That's happened traditionally. But what he was able to do increase the Senate, which is a more powerful side of the chain.
Especially when you talk about judicial appointments and setting the tone for the country. Absolutely.
Exactly right. That gives him the power to do the kinds of things that he wants to do. And so now, going forward, he is not going to have to worry about Democrats being able to challenge him. He's going to be able to make appointments carte blanche. He doesn't have to worry about even moderate Republicans challenging him. He is able, because he's brought in ultra-conservative Republicans with him, he is going to be able to make the kinds of appointments that changes the judiciary for the next 50 years in our country. It's going to be a difficult time for people who are bringing cases before the federal judiciary, I have to say.
Well, we're talking to Jeff Thomas. This is in our election results roundtable. Dr. Chervenek will be joining us at the top of the hour. Anything else nationally, like I said, we're going to remix when Dr. Chervenek comes in. Anything else noticeable? Let me say this. 504-260-9265, the solution line. Give us a call. I've kept it real, mm-hmm. really. I did not think Gillum or Abrams would win. Mm-hmm. Did I think they'd put up a good fight?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they'd win.
Abrams hasn't lost yet, so there's still hope. listen, what's happening there is you don't have...
Jesse Jackson kept hope alive a long time till we found out
did.
Hope was dead.
Yes, he did. Well, listen, some of the precincts in Atlanta are not in yet, and early voting hasn't been counted yet, and African-Americans tend to early vote more.
Yeah.
So she's got some hope. In Georgia, you have to have 50% mm-hmm. plus one vote, and he hasn't accomplished that yet. And the margin... She's got to win the majority of all of the outstanding votes, and she's got to win it in the high 80s to be successful. So it doesn't look great, but
it doesn't look great.
It's not official yet.
But keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
She ran a fantastic campaign, though. And Gillum, let me say this: in losing, Gillum was exceptional. Jeff Thomas.
Well, let me tell you. You talked about national and how this worked. You know, what typically has happened is this: in recent years, Republicans have been able to win, and Democrats who have run against them. For example, here in Louisiana, John Bel Edwards was a conservative, is a conservative Democrat, and those Democrats typically, except with the
right.
exception of John Bel Edwards,
right.
lost to the Republicans.
Right.
This was a new style. This was progressive Democrats going after Republicans. They got a lot closer than the conservative Democrats who...
Than the blue dog.
Exactly quote, right.
Great point. And we're going to go to the lines right now. That's a great point that needs to be talked about, because I think they learned something in picking up people to the left.
That's right.
You don't necessarily have to lose. You can build your base. I wanted to ask Dr. Chervenek about that, too, is that the move to the left or progressive, it seemed to be successful. Is that a new trend? Is that good enough? Because at the end of the day, you don't want to come close. You want to win.
That's right.
Line one, Brother Corey, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Hey, Jeff. And hey, I.
Hey, good brother. God bless you.
Hey,
so, question.
Uh-huh.
The vice president, mm-hmm. is the vice president head of the Senate?
First, he is.
That's yes.
One thing.
Yes.
Two is, you know, growing up in school, we used to pledge allegiance to the flag. And the pledge allegiance to the flag said, the pledge allegiance to the republic, of which is we stand, our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about the republic. Mm-hmm. So is it the United States was a republic or was it a Democrat before it started? That's not a question because all these people need to know all these things. And the Congress. Where's the power that Congress have? Congress
that makes it a republic.
Of a man. So Congress have that power to actually get that change.
Absolutely.
So much stuff that the Congress can do that we think that Mr. Cedric Richmond could do something, you know, much more positive for the community because Congress enacted all these things, legislation that put us into this slavery, put into a thousand different things. So. You know, I'll
good
be chiming
point.
On that. So please
good
answer
point.
The questions, and you have, and thank you for your expertise and congratulations on all your wins. Thank you.
No, great point, Brother Corey. And when you talk about the power is in the Republic in terms of the different branches of government.
We
have a representative government. That's a great point that we forget sometimes. That makes sure that the executive branch.
They can check
the checks and balances.
They write the checks.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, kind of like the way our local government works, and you know this
absolutely.
Much better than me, the mayor sets out a budget
right.
And the city council writes the checks.
Absolutely.
And approves it. And the same thing happens on the national level. And the Congress funds everything. They write all of the checks in the country.
Well, but Brother Corey, very profound, very good. He raises a good answer is that when we get a good Congress, right,
mm-hmm.
Folk that are willing to walk across the aisles, that are willing to compromise on behalf of America,
mm-hmm.
it is probably more important than having the right president in office.
Right. And so we are lucky that
especially where the Constitution is
right.
written.
And Congressman Richmond, I expect great things from him. I expect him to bring home the bacon as it said. And you're going to
the lines are lit up,
okay.
Man. You know, our listening audience is on it when it comes to this. Line two, our local Mr. President, Old Yeller. God bless you. I'm with OT.
Old Yeller. What's up, brother?
How you doing, OT?
Hey, man. God
Mr.
bless.
Mr. 504, look. First of all, I want to talk about Abrams, she ran a good campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her fault because 53,000 votes got held up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her fault that the Secretary of State did an exact match.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with the template of running it like John Bell Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
She did, and a brother from Florida ran. But they had obstacles. I mean, it was a steeplechase for them to get all through those hurdles with the voter suppression.
Absolutely.
But they
good
lost.
Point. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost. But Jeff and OT, mm-hmm. I do feel good because the House of Representatives, even though it wasn't a blue wave,
right.
Guess what, boys and girls?
You got to talk to
me. Behold the gavel.
You got to talk
to me. The House of Representatives, hold the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
That means subpoena power,
mm-hmm.
all of this stuff Trump's been doing with mm-hmm. his hotels, all of this you see his taxes, we'll do this, do that, nepotism, what's gone, dead, this, that, and the other. And Cedric might have a good position to hold the gavel. And I'm happy of that. And the only thing I'm worried about is like you guys stated earlier on the judges. Look, does the House of Representatives is the first hurdle for judges to go through and then the Senate?
No.
Or it's only going through the Senate.
Senate.
Oh, boy, we in trouble now.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
But we can put slow him down a little bit. But you know, everything is everything. And one more thing, I'm happy that the clerk of court, the young lady, won.
Oh man, we're gonna get to
later.
That.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I'm tired of these politicians. First state representative, then Councilman D, and then the clerk. And that's not right.
The
people of District D got screwed. That's all I want to say, man. Good show
Thanks, and a lot
of knowledge.
Thank you. The people of District D sent a strong message yesterday. People of the city sent a strong message yesterday.
One thing I want to comment about Oyelowo, I agree with him 100%. Right. The voter suppression is a real issue.
Right.
And particularly in Georgia, where the Secretary of State implemented these
and we're going to get to this election stringent, Secretary of State.
Yeah, exactly right. A harsh and stringent rules about exact match. So if your name is Jeff-Thomas and the Secretary of State. Yeah, there's no hyphen. Then if there's not an exact match, you couldn't vote.
Well, let's go to the lines right now. I'll get this last call before we bring Dr. Ed in here. Line three, Brother Cedric, you're on with Mr. Jeff Thomas, MrThink504.com.
Good morning. I want to make it clear. Trump didn't win. What people thought about us won. Racism won. Hate won. And this is why we should go out and vote in masses. And then coming to the state of Louisiana, what are we to do as Democrats when the state Democratic Party seemingly supports Republicans before they support Democrats? And what's sad is some of the leaders are right here from New Orleans. And I, too, am glad that Miss Napoleon won. And I wish the other guy would have won because people ought not be running for office to build up their 401k. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Brother Cedric, I hear your frustration, and a lot of people feel like that. But the only thing I'll say is that, and Jeff, in taking a look at it, right, if there's a great political God out there, then the mix is that they got to do some work. There's going to be some discussions. There's going to be some compromise. The American people might have won last night.
Because Donald Trump is wildly popular.
But given the mix, mm-hmm. right, Congress one way, mm-hmm. Senate one way, mm-hmm. President another, folks are going to have to talk to each other.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, when you have to talk to each
other. That's a very good point, O.T.
And when you have to negotiate.
Sure.
The political stars, Brother Cedric, it may not have gone the way you wanted it to go. But it may have gone and lined up the way it needed to go if we're going to move forward.
Yeah, and, you know, the Democrats have an opportunity. They can push this impeachment or investigation agenda forward. And so that's going to change things, change the political landscape dramatically.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Ed Chervenik is going to join us. Man, you don't want to miss. He was busy all night last night analyzing the election for local media. He's going to join Jeff Thomas. Thank you, Jeff Thomas, man. Over 250,000 people online, bloggers, man, with you. We appreciate you taking your time.
Thanks for letting me come on with you and make us think. Absolutely.
When we come back, we got a great show lined up because after this segment at 9 o'clock, man, we're going to talk to Charles Maldonado and Michael Stein about energy and that energy debacle. You know, we were the first who aired that here on WBOK. We paid a heavy price for it, but the lens in their reporting uncovered probably one of the great charades in the history of New Orleans politics with the Energy and the Paid Actors scheme. We'll talk to them at 9 and at 9:30, Ms. Eureka Aluga, Safe Kit Job Fair. Great show. That's what we do here. This is why the Good Morning Show is one of the fastest growing. The Nielsen ratings off the hook right now, not because of what we do here, but because of the people who come on and contribute. We'll be back after the break.
WBOK, New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back, 8:08 a.m. in the morning. We're back. OT, the early bird. Oliver Thomas, the Good Morning Show and the early bird. Man, Lee Hardy on the box, Bakewell Media, 1230am.com. On behalf of our general manager, Susan Henry, and all the families and all the folks on air hosts who work here, we appreciate y'all. God bless. We love y'all so much, man. 8:08 in the morning, the solution line, 504-260-9265. Already underway with our discussion. All things politics here in the studio with Mr. Think 504, Jeff Thomas. Thank you for contributing. But he's here. I told y'all he was coming. Now he's here. Hey, up all night analyzing national local elections. Dr. Ed Chervenik, man. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show.
Thank you, OT. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, Doc, you know, Jeff and I, we do our thing. But, you know, we know first name X, last name expert. We want a
couple of hacks.
We either want somebody to co-sign and say, hey, look, let me help you figure that out.
That's right. Give us some numbers to back up this stuff we're saying. Right?
Doc, wasn't quite the blue wave. Wasn't quite the Republican wall. What happened?
I think what happened last night was what most experts projected, that there would be sort of a mini surge, if you want to call it, of Democrats.
A mini surge. Yeah, oh, that's nice.
Particularly in the suburbs throughout the Midwest and the West, and that this allowed the Democrats to flip the House and take over. And it's kind of a glass half full night, I think, for the Democrats, for the Republicans, and for the president. For the Democrats, not only did they take the House, but they also took a number of governorships from Republicans. They won Wisconsin. They defeated Scott Walker.
Yes.
They've been targeting for a long time.
Absolutely.
And they also won in Kansas, of all places. That's one of the most Republican states. But they did lose in Ohio and Florida, the two big states.
Democrats picked up a seat in Montana.
Yes. They picked up a seat in Oklahoma. Just a number of places would you have never expected.
I want you to help us explain something. You know, Jeff and I, we focus on political parties. We talk about moderate, progressive, far right, evangelical, conservative. Are the American people more so now connecting with the individual and their message, rather than the particular party? Are we kind of in an age now where if you got the right message, if you can connect with people, no matter which party or affiliation, you have a chance?
I think a lot of it has to do with the type of election that you're in. Say, for example, on the national level, it seems to be much more partisan, much more tribal.
Okay.
Now, with Congress, of course, it's much more individualistic. If you look at the numbers that Steve Scalise and Cedric Richmond got.
Right.
And that's because they've been able to establish this personal tie with their constituents, providing them with service, providing them with communications. So in that sense, they're voting more for the individual than the party. They're not voting on the basis of policy or party or politics. It's more about, I know, I like Cedric, I trust him, I like Steve, I trust him, I'm going to vote for him. When we look at the state elections, partisanship plays less of a role. Say, for example, at the election of John Bel Edwards in Louisiana.
Right, Jeff and I talked about that.
Right, that it's more nuts and bolts about the issues, quality of life. So I think there's just lots of variation out there. I don't think there's one size fits all when it comes to election.
Jeff, earlier you said you thought that Louisiana won with Scalise, no matter what, and Cedric won.
Sure,
explain what did you mean by that? And Doc, I want you to weigh in, please.
Well, because with this flipping of the House, Cedric, where we used to have Steve Scalise as Majority Whip, we will now have Cedric Richmond, and one of the most important committees, if not Majority Whip. I was really concerned about a couple of things. You know, people were talking about Steve Scalise maybe being Speaker of the House. And we've had some really bad results when people were almost Speaker of the House. Bob Livingston, Bill Jefferson, those didn't work out so well. So I was happy, frankly, for Steve Scalise, who, although I disagree with his politics most of the time, I have to say
the positioning is important.
I have to say that, you know, this guy who took some bullets is still a guns rights guy. I mean, he is a guy that you have to respect his opinions and his belief system.
He took a bullet and kept on ticking.
Right. And so now I think that we have, even though he is no longer going to be Majority Whip, we have Cedric Richmond
But he'll maintain a very powerful position in the minority party.
He is going to be the most high-profile African-American congressman going forward. I mean, he's being groomed for every position, and I got to tell you, he may be Majority Whip. He certainly is going to be on, if not that, he is going to be on the most powerful committees of his choosing.
Louisiana won, Dr. Chairman?
Yeah, absolutely. Cedric Richmond's, one of the emerging leaders in Congress, and I also agree that he's being groomed for a leadership position as well. He's now chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and so we can expect certainly him to emerge, and that, you know, we can also, I think we can hopefully expect that Cedric Richmond and Steve Scalise work together. They're pretty good friends, from
anyway,
what I understand. Yeah,
right.
And that this should be good for Louisiana. We've really lost a lot of clout in Congress as a result of losing Mary Landrieu and people who had attained some tenure.
You can say what you want about Bob Livingston. Bob Livingston was one of the most effective.
Right.
So was Bill Jefferson. They may have had their own issues, but they brought the bacon home.
Right.
And I know I was in positions to have to work with them. They delivered for Louisiana.
That's the whole idea about attaining seniority in Congress, is that you can bring those federal dollars back to your state and your district.
Now, let's talk about Trump. And Jeff and I spoke about this, and, of course, we'd definitely love your expertise. The folk who were saying Trump won was last night. What did they mean by that? And did he really win?
Well, he won because he was out there on the campaign trail promoting Senate candidates, and his primary goal was to maintain Republican control of the Senate. I think they had an understanding that they were going to lose the House.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go out guns blazing with this immigration issue, but this is going to be a way to mobilize our base and win these Senate seats. And the Senate is important because that's where the judicial nominations happen. And so the Republicans would love to continue packing the court with conservatives. And so for the next 2 years, all right, the president will be making nominations, and then the Senate will either approve or disapprove of those nominations.
And explain why that's important, especially the Supreme Court and that nomination
process.
Well,
not just the Supreme Court, but the whole federal judiciary.
That's what Jeff said earlier, right?
Right, because these are lifetime appointments.
Right.
And so, you know, once they're vetted and they're appointed, they're there for life. And if they have conservative judicial philosophy, they're going to be making decisions on the basis of that conservative philosophy. And so this is kind of one of the primary goals and missions of the Republican Party for a long time, was to get control of the judiciary.
Some people think that having it very close in the House and the Senate and having some of the differences will help to foster a mandate more dialogue. And your take is that, yeah, potentially, but it depends on who the leadership is in each of those branches. What do you mean by that?
Well, things have gotten so tribal and so partisan in the House and in the Senate that it's almost reached a point where they don't even talk to one another. There's just this lack of sociability that seems to be taking place in Washington, D.C. It used to be that representatives would take their families to D.C. and that the wives would socialize together, the mm-hmm. children would all go to school together, and so you built up friendships and social networks across the aisle. Today, representatives, they just go to D.C., they leave their families back home, they don't socialize, they don't go out to dinner together, they just don't talk to each other. And so it's up to the leadership then to decide, okay, we need to basically reach across the aisle. And, you know, we'll have to see if that happens or not.
Senator, congressional leadership don't foster that.
The thinking was as well, I don't want to bring my family to D.C. My focus is back on the district, so I'll keep my family there. But something's being lost as a result of that, and I think it's that sociability that leads to, you know, someone like a Ronald Reagan and a Tip O'Neill being able to sit down and have dinner or have drinks and work out their differences on a piece of legislation.
And I agree. I think a lot of it has to do with the social angst of white people in America. The feeling that the demographic shifts and this rise of Hispanic populations, which is why we're seeing this rise of identity
politics. Immigration piece, all the experts said it worked in terms of the Senate and the election and people going to the polls. Trump played that hand correctly.
Exactly right. So the rise of identity politics and white nationalism, which is what Trump said, he's a nationalist. And so as that has risen, this partisanship, the sharing of ideas and families coming together has shrunk. I mean, we are in tribalism, and tribalism is important. And because Donald Trump has pushed this agenda of nationalism and identity politics, you're seeing less partisan. I mean, you're seeing more people in their own tribes. You're seeing people
more
not
partisanship,
coming,
less bipartisanship.
Exactly right. That's exactly. Thank you for helping me figure that out. And the fact is that a lot of it has to do with white angst, and because of this fear of many white people that they were going to lose something. This whole "Make America Great Again" is "Make America White Again," in my estimation. And because of that, this identity politics has risen to the point that we have this partisanship where people are not able to come together, where people don't share ideas, and people don't reach across the aisles. And I think it's important that Cedric Richmond and Steve Scalise, who are miles apart in terms of their politics are friends, as Dr. Ed said, and are able to come together. And we have to have more of that, and we have to have people coming together. It's important for our country. It's important for our city. It's important for our state. And that's what we need to have happen.
504-260-9265, Solution Line. Dr. Ed Chervenik in the studio with us, and Mr. Think 504, Jeff Thomas with us. Jeff and I spoke earlier in that you would have thought, given the conditions of the country, given Trump and his rhetoric, given a lot of the problems, you know, you would have thought that the blue wave would have happened. What does the Democratic Party need to understand or figure out? Because in many cases where they won, if they could, in 2 years, they could lose a lot of those seats. What did the Democratic Party miss in terms of the election tomorrow? Why wasn't it more convincing when the ingredients were there for it to be more convincing?
Well, it looked like the ingredients were there for it to be more convincing, but one of the headwinds that the Democrats faced was the economy, mm-hmm. and that there's low unemployment, jobs are being created, and just recently data shows that the wages are starting to increase. Mm-hmm. And so things are going very well, and people are kind of hesitant to say, okay, what we really need is fundamental change.
Good point.
You know?
That's right.
So,
not against myself.
Right. And so there may have been some hesitancy on the part of people who may have wanted to push the lever, right, for a Democrat, but says, you know, things are going okay. I'm just going to keep things status quo. So I think the economy was a real headwind. And I think that there was some of the Republican base that was juiced up by the immigration, that's kind of this ugly, divisive rhetoric, mm-hmm. but it was effective.
Mm-hmm. Moving forward for Donald Trump, he won big in some of the key areas, though, so especially in some of those key electoral college states. He didn't do bad.
He did okay in Ohio and Florida, but he lost in Wisconsin and Michigan. And also Republicans lost big time in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, right.
And so those are the three states that gave him the electoral votes to become president. So now that's going to be a much more difficult path for him in 2020 mm-hmm. because a Democratic governor in Wisconsin and in Michigan and in Pennsylvania are going to work against him, all right, because they can bring their infrastructure and their people mm-hmm. to promote the Democratic candidate in that state. And so Trump drew this inside straight in 2016,
right.
and he hasn't necessarily changed his cards. And so the question is will he be able to do that again? But it's going to be much more difficult with those states now in Democratic hands.
Your take, do you think he can? Do you think he's willing to amend his style and his politics and his rhetoric?
No, I do not, because he thinks it works. Because people are always telling him, don't do this, don't do this. He goes out and does what he does, and he ends up keeping the Senate, and he says, I'm not going to listen
Jeff
to
Jeff Thomas. Is he stuck on stupid, as Dr. Chervenik says? He is.
He's the beneficiary, as Dr. Chervenik says, of a good economy. And I don't know that he's the architect of this good economy.
Is he capable of changing his rhetoric?
But I don't think that his rhetoric is going to change. I think he is an ideologue, and he believes what he believes, and he believes that what he did got him there, and that other factors weren't in play. But so I don't think that he sees the variables, and he doesn't believe that the variables exist, that it's all about him, and he's going to continue to push his views and his agenda.
Guys, we've talked so much about nationally, but we also had some statewide elections, Secretary of State. It was one of the most quiet elections. With so much talk about voter and voter participation, with the most important issue, the Secretary of State's election. And I see we have Kyle Ardoin and Gwen Collins Greenup are going to be in the runoff.
Yeah, it was under the radar, given the fact that this is the third most important office in the state. This individual is third in line to the governorship. And also they're the ones who oversee our elections, register the businesses in the state, and archive all the state records. So it is an important position. It's more an administrative position than a political one, but it's an important one. But the results were surprising, with Gwen Collins Green coming literally out of nowhere.
Sure.
She must have some underground outreach program.
I don't know. I just think it was African American. She was the first Democrat on the ballot.
She benefited from being a woman and being a D.
Sometimes we want to look for this profound movement or something that was happening that we didn't see? Sometimes it's not.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's just like it just came out of nowhere. I mean, she really has no money.
Right.
She ran a very extremely low-key campaign.
That's right.
But came in second to the incumbent, defeating, you know, someone like a Julie Stokes who did very poorly. And, you know, that was kind of a shock to me.
I voted for her because she was the first D.
That's right. Well, exactly right. Listen, that may, spoke to
real talk that. For real time. I'm like, okay, I don't know you. I don't know out of you. Oh, right. D.
D, there you go. And listen, she spoke about her social media. But if you look at her social media following, she has 100, 200 social media followers. Right. So that really wasn't a big impact. No. You're right. I think
we got to make up something, right?
Right. Well, she was. I think she benefited from the D, and she benefited from
especially in the urban areas and in
Collins,
suburban areas.
She was an African American. Right. Louisiana does have 35% African American electorate, and so you know, I think she's topped out. And
you took the words out of my mouth for both of you guys.
Right.
Has she run the best she's going to run in Louisiana?
Well, we're going to find out because now this is a brand new campaign.
She's got to get a couple coins.
She's starting from scratch, she's
got to
get the money.
But is the state Democratic Party in a position to help?
We talked a little bit about earlier about how John Bel Edwards got elected. One of the reasons was that he ran against an extremely flawed candidate, David Vitter. Well, you have some flaws in this candidate. There are a lot of controversies about him.
With Shetler coming out of that office.
But just him personally.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he has had to rebid his contract for voting machines. Mm-hmm. He was the head of HR under Shetler.
Oh, Jeff Thomas has done his homework, making us think.
The lady approached him about Shetler, he said, just stay out of his way. And so, I mean, he was involved in that process, and it did not.
I am surprised, though, and Dr. Ed, you mentioned earlier, Julie Stokes, I'm surprised how poorly she did. There was very little outreach in the suburban area. She could have carried this region and very easily run first or made the runoff. Given the time she's been in office, given her relationships in the metropolitan area, probably one of the poorest campaigns I've seen in a long time. I'm just keeping it real.
No, I agree that I think a lot of people expected her to do better than
she didn't even
did.
Ask people I know for help.
I did see one ad. I'm not sure how much outreach she did or how much traveling around the state she did. But I thought just on the basis of some name recognition –
in the metropolitan, if you just campaign the metro region,
right,
and you make the runoff.
And she's a very sympathetic candidate as well, you know, given the medical issues that she's faced and overcome. And so for that reason alone, I thought she would have done much better.
Well, let's go to lines right now. Line one, Brother Sekou, God bless you. You're on with Dr. Ed and MrThink504.com, Jeff Thomas.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good,
Brother,
you're
coming lighting up on one of the bees up on that in that threesome up there this morning. Dr. Chevronet.
Yeah, he's here.
Jeff Thomas, Brother Jeff Thomas, man, you're a straight shooter. You talk to the straight, you take it straight up, bro. You don't be hesitating, you say it the way it is, bro.
Thank you, brother.
That's the green up, the sister Collins?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her name, bro. Her name is famous in New Orleans. Green up is
that's right.
We didn't think about that. You're absolutely right.
Decades,
good point. Good point. Especially in the New Orleans region.
She carried a lot of vote in New
Great
Orleans.
Great point. Great
And also up along the river parishes and stuff, right?
That's
great
right.
point. We
so
forgot about
know,
that.
The green up name is well, pretty
that's right.
much one of those
that's
black
right.
names that everybody identified with. And you know, I have no baggage. In fact, I met one of the green up the last time, one of the brother from the Olympics was down here.
Great
you
point.
You know, at City Park, I was told I took pictures with him and Green Up and Carl Gamble. We was a bunch of us together.
Good
right?
point. Especially in this region, Seiko, you're right. Green Up is a very prominent African American name in this region. You're no doubt about it. I forgot all about that. You're right.
Yeah, but see, some of us were old enough and long enough to been you know where the bones are buried, brother.
Right.
Because I'm one of them old brothers who know the names and who played what and who didn't do what and who claimed this and who claimed that.
Good point.
But anyway, she got a good chance, and I think like you say, you gotta get on that social media mm-hmm. and people stuff. You gotta put some money behind it. And I don't particularly like that little boxer dude who, what is his last name?
Kyle Ardoin.
He got a strange little background. I look at that man's name. He was guilty of something. I don't remember what it was. But he was guilty on the note.
Well, Jeff Thomas laid him out earlier. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Sekou. Dr. Ed and Jeff. Yeah, the Greenup name in New Orleans in metropolitan region is a very prominent African American Creole family name, and
real estate tycoon,
their involvement, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she's related or associated or married
her
into that family.
I imagine.
But that definitely kind of got biased there.
Yeah, Brother Sekou was right to bring that point up. Absolutely.
When we come back, we're gonna scale back to these local elections, the amendments.
Oh yeah.
And moving forward, what does this mean for our statewide elections coming up next year? We'll be back after the break.
WBOK, 1230 AM, the People's Station.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back, 8:34 a.m. in the morning. The Good Morning Show, Oliver Thomas, the early bird inside WBOK listening audience. Man, we want to thank United Healthcare, Julie Morrell, and United Healthcare family here in New Orleans. Quality, affordable healthcare coverage, educating Louisiana about their options. How do you make sure you're taking advantage of the best quality coverage you can? Call your United Healthcare representative. And Mark Romigan, the Greater New Orleans Tourism Commission, their family, in honor of the tricentennial, keeping you engaged, keeping you informed, and knowing our history. Man, we got a Dr. Mac Creighton. He's been a contributor here. His book, Mind, Body, and Soul and Spirit, The Interface Between Science and Scripture. He'll be at Dillard University the 7th. That's tonight at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it. And, of course, next up, NOLA. Tonight at Revolution Bantu, next up NOLA, honoring folk like the mayor, Senator Troy Carter, and even myself. That's 7 o'clock tonight, man. You don't want to mix next up NOLA, group of young millennials and trailblazers honoring the next generation, but also preparing themselves to lead it. But in the studio with us right now, he's here, Dr. Ed, one of the leading voices, one of our political prognosticators and gurus in the house, with the guy who makes us
think.
Mr. Jeff Thomas, we're going to go to the lines right now before we can continue our political dialogue. Line one, James, you're on with Dr. Ed and Jeff Thomas.
Morning, doctor. Good morning, OT.
Good morning.
Good morning, brother Jeff. How y'all?
We're doing fine, man.
Great.
Thank
How are you,
brother?
I'm well. So I want to hit y'all with two things. First, Jeff, you said something, and I think you're overlooking the fact that those 100 people that's following Ms. Greenup also have potentially hundreds of followers.
Good point.
Good point.
So
even, very good point. Yes.
So even if I put something on my page, I may not have
right.
a lot of followers.
Good point.
Right.
But
that's
I do
right.
have a lot of people that look at my content.
That's right.
And those people will take that content and then transfer
share
it to
it.
Their likeness.
Great point.
Not
yeah,
like her, but
right,
they
James.
Will put it on their pages, and
the
that's
power.
How information gets scattered about on social media.
The power of social
Another
media.
Thing is,
thanks for that.
That Greenup
right.
name is something that I only heard mm-hmm. or remember hearing as a child. So, I mean,
right.
although I did try to do a little homework and you know, the wife and I got on YouTube and we started Googling the candidates because people don't realize how important the Secretary of State election is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was not enough content or information out there on any of the parties. And at the last minute, I think it was Ardon jumped in at the last minute.
He did.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I started looking around and, you know, I had mentioned it on the show one morning. I was like, look, we need to start talking about these people and some of, you know, what they do and what they don't do for the community, what they do around, you know, what's the position that they're actually after and how will it benefit us?
Wow.
That
thank
didn't
you.
Happen. But anyway, I do think that it's a shot in the dark. It's going to be a long shot. Not that our face is out there.
Right.
And oh wow, it's you know, this is
right.
as good as it may get. But I'm gonna walk with blind hope and faith and see if we can get this system that can do something for everybody, not just us. You
thank
know what
you.
I'm saying?
Thank you.
The
James,
last
I agree
thing
with
I wanted
you.
To leave y'all with,
okay.
and I'm gonna hang up and listen, is the fact that there are a lot of people that missed the vote on that. Giving felons a second chance. you know, shame on us all for that one. I'm going to take y'all comments and listen to what else y'all got to say. Y'all my leaders, and I appreciate y'all.
Say thank you. We appreciate that, man. Dr. Ed and Jeff, I mean, James is correct. We forget about it. You may just have 100 followers, but if somebody who has thousands of followers pick up and they begin to share and spread, that's thousands of people. So that is the power of social media.
That is the power. And so
great point.
I think what it shows is that those people who are following her have the level of intensity and commitment to her enough to send that message out to other people who then hopefully send it out to others. And so
she's going to need a lot of that going forward because she's going to have an uphill battle. But, you know, the thing is that she's going against a flawed candidate, a guy who's mired in some controversy, who has some weaknesses, and who's never run for political office.
But Jeff and Dr. Ed, clear this up for me, man. You guys' business is, Doc, you educate the next wave of political scientists. You're one of the folk who help us explain and figure out what happens politically. Jeff, you got 250,000 followers. They count on you. Mm. And am I seeing now, and especially based on what James said, that there's a level of consciousness now with voters and potential voters kind of going out of their own way now to actually do their own background work on people. There's a level of consciousness here in the country right now where we're seeing people kind of taking into their own hands to want to do research now.
Well, I mean, we do live in an information-rich society, and certainly with the Internet, you can search any topic that you want. You can find information on any candidate or any issue that you want. Hopefully, of course, the downside is that you may find some fake information.
Alternative facts.
Right. Whatever that means. And I think it's just this high degree of polarization that's leading to higher levels of interest. One of my colleagues says this high turnout we're seeing is a result of this increased polarization. So if people are more engaged, they're more likely to seek out information.
You agree?
I absolutely agree. And I think the power of the Internet is that you may not even be interested in Gwen Collins Greenup, but suddenly it pops up on your phone, and you're thinking, whoa, well, who is this? And there's she had a video.
Someone you know.
And somebody that you know says, this is information. This is how Think 504 is growing. So I can attest to it. And I can tell you that then what happens is people start saying, well, wait, this guy Jeff, this is some pretty good information. And other people share it, and you grow organically. And I think that probably is what happened. And thanks to James for helping me see it. My business, and I didn't even recognize it.
Making people
think. Absolutely.
The lines are lit up, man. Let's go to the lines right now. All the way from Austin, Texas, Dr. Ed, Mr. Rao from Austin. You're on with Dr. Ed and Jeff Thomas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Greenup name?
Yes.
Who is Frederick Richmond married to? He married Raquel Greenup. And both Adele and Rodney are McDonald's 35 dads. They're Rodney.
Right, you're right.
So the Greenup name, not necessarily just out of New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Line three, Brother Lazard, you're on with Jeff Thomas and Dr. Ed.
Yes, I would like to comment upon the fact that the Internet itself has served as an alternative. The alternative is so powerful that they begin to start putting on it fake news. The fake news concept is to deteriorate the amount of information that was coming from the Internet that was dealing with the so-called media contradiction. So the Internet served as an entity that was given to us by God to be able to see into things that they have been keeping away from us with the normal media. But now they're trying to distort that concept with fake news, and fake news has been injected into it to try to deteriorate the power of the Internet. But it will not be able to alter that. One of the things I would like to ask Mr. Jeff Thomas, if possible, can he look at the process of the economic impact that the Governor Nicholas Street Wolf can have on African America or the New Orleans economy once we start moving that project into a positive aspect?
Thank you.
And Cedric in his position, as well as Steve Scalise, both of them operate as a part of New Orleans representation, should be working towards federal funding to develop a wharf that's been dormant for 30 years. I have been pushing this project since Oliver Thomas sat in his office. The Uptown Wharf is vacant. We fought for the Uptown Wharf, and we get the Governor Nicholas C. Wharf. Now we want to see that the wharf come back into commerce because that is an opportunity to take and deal with commercial development. Other than sewage and water board, other than these so-called other projects that the European culture is pushing out there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I like what Brother Rip is saying. Yeah. And you know, that project is viable, it seems to me, and I'm hopeful
very
that
timely.
They can push it.
Tourism and cultural tourism is
exactly
on an all-time
right.
high right
exactly
now.
Exactly right. It's certainly something that I think the citizens would embrace locally and tourists would come
something
in.
Something we support.
And support, absolutely.
One of the most popular elections we had here locally was Chelsea Richard Napoleon, who Jeff developed into, I thought, one of the finer candidates that we had. Watched the metamorphosis of her.
She started a little rough, but she...
From a technician.
She grew.
Pretty much beat a political machine. Jared Prosser started with several hundred thousands of dollars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gosh, your take on that? Because early on, people were predicting a Brassette route.
Right.
It flipped the other way.
Yeah, the assumption was that he should cruise into this office. He's got name recognition. He's got a
on
voter,
the council every day.
Voter base in District D, significant amount of money, and he had the morale machine behind him as well, and thinking, well, okay, we're just going to cruise in, but of course that didn't happen. And it's just for the fact that she just out-campaigned him and outworked him, that elections are not coronations. Just because you have name recognition and you have money and you have backing does not mean you're going to win. You have to earn the voters' trust, and that she went out and did that. She attended the forums. He did not.
He didn't go to the last couple of months. He was pretty much didn't debate her at all.
And so the buzz gets out there that that this guy's not really doing the hard work that it takes to win that office. I'm going to give it to you. You have to earn it. And this time, so in this instance, she earned it.
Your take, Jeff, because you watched her pretty much more from a technician, someone who was good at that job, to actually a good public personal candidate. It was kind of beautiful to watch her immediately saying she wasn't like the celebrity people person, but she actually helped shape and mold herself into someone who was comfortable dealing with the public.
She really transformed herself. She was great. And, you know, given the fact that she had been in that office for so long, Dale Atkins, you know, was an incumbent who didn't have to run any campaigns. So while she was skilled at being a clerk, an experienced at being a clerk, she had no experience in running campaigns. And so she brought to the campaign trail a technician's style.
Sold her qualifications. It was the one time I saw someone, Dr. Ed, and they say, hey, well, hold on a second. I know you don't have to be a lawyer to be the clerk, but it helps if you're going to be dealing with the law.
Yes.
That's right.
She was able to do what Tim Ray couldn't.
That's right. And so, you know, that race, you know, we talked about it early on. We talked about the fact that those two clerkships were about people who had qualifications. Chelsea and Tim Ray were both attorneys versus people who weren't necessarily qualified in that sense, but who had good political reputations, Jared and Austin Badon. And in one race, in this first race that we're talking about, the qualifications, I think, for office, plus she was a woman, she's running in the age of Me Too, she transformed herself, and the fact that Jared didn't participate in debates for the reasons I think that he didn't, wasn't qualified necessarily to be the clerk of court, she was able to catapult to victory. As opposed to, I think we're going to talk next about this next race.
Badon and Ray.
Yeah, but so I think that she was able to transform herself politically. She was able to use her experience in office and her qualifications to be the guy who wasn't necessarily qualified, but who had a great
support.
Name and wanted only to win based on his name recognition, and that didn't work for him in this race.
Well, let's go to the lines right now. Lines are always lit up. Line one, Alvin, you're on with Dr. Ed. And Jeff Thomas.
Hey, morning, everybody. Hope everybody doing
good morning.
Well.
Good morning, Puzzle Master.
I want to talk about the Greenup. OT, like you said, real talk. I was going to skip the vote, but something just told me, you know, man, you got to vote on something in this spot because a no vote is a yes vote for somebody that you really don't want to win. So I was like, well, Gwendolyn, that name sounds kind of familiar. I don't know too many Gwendolyns, but. Okay, Gwendolyn Gwynn, yeah, let me go with that. So,
when Gwendolyn was backed up with Greenup, Al.
You know, now that our faces out.
Voter science, Dr.
Ed. That's right.
Al, thank you for keeping it real. So, Dr. Chervenick, explain that voter science.
Well, basically, it's just a shortcut that people use. I mean, they don't.
Gwendolyn, now Gwendolyn Greenup, okay.
You know, girl Gwen. Gigi. You
know, there's just a lot of times when people just have no idea who these candidates are.
Right.
And they just use the name as a shortcut. Oh, that looks like a nice person, a nice name, and so they vote for that.
Well, I'd love to see you put that into your scientific equation when you're analyzing your
election. Well, you know, we've actually done it. One time, when I was in an American government class, my professor put two names up on the board. He put Daniel Rostenkowski and Gus Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then asked us who we were going to vote for. And everyone almost voted for Gus Hall.
Gus Hall.
Who
I know a Gus Hall.
Well, this Gus Hall was head of the U.S. Communist Party, mm-hmm. and Daniel Rostenkowski was a congressman from
Chicago.
Illinois, Chicago. Right.
The political
and so
machine.
Everyone was voting on the basis of the name. And so I'm not
it
surprised.
Works.
Yes, it works. So if they're looking at the Green Up name or even the Gwendolyn name, people are using that as a cue.
I guess, listen, you know, when you apply for a job, having a black name doesn't work for you. But when you're running for office in Louisiana, having a black name, help Gwen Greenup. How about that?
I want to do something else but behind the scenes that I saw. I think it was one of the best efforts that I've ever seen was the blending of old and new. Mm-hmm. Chelsea Napoleon Young, progressive, had been in the office. And the efforts of Don Hubbard to be a mentor.
Sure.
And to help her put together and understand politics, for people who don't understand that, to see those two worlds come together,
mm-hmm.
and for her to accept his tutelage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for her to accept constructive criticism and move forward, I think it was the world of difference. Don Hubbard, I think he I don't want to say he re-energized himself, but he got back into the political game to help this young lady and bring all of his resources and all of his mentoring, political mentoring together. That had to help make a difference, Dr. Ed.
You got to be able to connect with people. It's more than just being a technician. You've got to make that one person-to-person contact. And just in the forums that I attended, that she just was able to engage people to a much greater degree than Jared was.
And I have to say, you know, having a little inside information about this campaign, there were a couple of guys who went and worked with her, and that really transformed her candidacy. She went from being robotic, unemotional, and as she talked in a meeting that I was in, that she talked to everybody in the same pitch because she didn't want to show any favoritism, and she started to show favoritism. She started to let her personality
came out.
And when people saw her personality, when people got a chance to see who she was and the kind of person that she was, people were attracted to her and voted for her. Overwhelmingly, she won against a well-known politician, city council person.
So let's take the flip side of that. Mm-hmm. Austin Baddon reminded me of me in many cases in the campaign. He did not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
25, I saw him out there. If I'm driving down the road, I thought there were five Austin Baddons. If I'm on Chef, he's out there putting up his own signs.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rally on number two. He was out there holding up one of his signs at Vote for Proposition number two. Tim Ray, uniquely qualified, was served as the interim. Couldn't get his message out or develop the relationships like Chelsea Napoleon to overcome a skilled politician with the bowl machine behind him.
Yeah, I think one of the knocks on Austin was that he was not a very good finisher, that he would get in the runoffs and then lose the runoff.
Right.
This time, I think he took a much different tack.
No doubt.
And decided to do the hard work that's necessary to get across the finish line. And that he's a much more gregarious campaigner, mm-hmm. say, than someone like Tim Ray, who's much more subdued.
An intellectual,
very
reserved.
We're reserved, kind of a technician. This is what I'm going to do. This is my experience. But Austin's much more hands-on, you know, slap on the back type of guy.
That's right.
And I think
he worked
that's
hard.
What made the difference, yes.
He worked hard.
And you're right. Ed's right,
100%. Tim Ray, uniquely qualified.
Tim Ray
Austin
had
Baddon.
A great argument. I mean, absolutely. I saw him saying things like, you know, you don't have to be a doctor to be coroner, but it kind of helps. You don't have to be a lawyer to be clerk of court. It kind of helps. He made that argument great.
And Austin said, you got to kind of knock on every door.
I love you guys. I will give you everything you want. You want Coke and a hamburger. I'll have it for you. Just come see me afterwards. That's way people
some old time politics.
That's right.
The amendments. Any surprises on the amendments from 1 to 6?
No, no surprise. The only surprise for me was just how the one item on the ballot that animated people the most was the amendment number 2.
Proposition number 2.
Right. That money was pouring in from outside the state,
absolutely.
Both from conservative as well as liberal groups. So this was across the broad ideological spectrum. that people wanted to see this pass. And so it was the fact that this a constitutional amendment was driving the discussion rather than, say, the Secretary of State's talk.
Doc, do you agree, especially there was so much national attention around this amendment, and I talked to people from California to New York, Chicago, who were really watching Louisiana to see what we would do there. J.P. Morrell, to his credit, he was honest when he came in. And he said, hey, man, I put it out there. I had no idea. I didn't think it would get to this point where it would pass. This amendment kind of put Louisiana on the map in terms of us being more progressive, getting
yes.
rid of some of the Jim Crow vestiges. Did you have any idea it would have that type of impact?
Not really, to be honest. I thought, I thought it would pass, because it's just a matter of fairness. You as the individual confronted against the state, that's just an unfair position to be in. And then to be convicted on a 10-2 rather than unanimous is just making it even more unfair. But I didn't think it would resonate outside the state.
It did.
It's nice to know that now we now are in line with the rest of the nation, I think, with the exception of Oregon.
Right.
And that we've made this criminal justice reform, among others, and that we are kind of moving in a progressive direction when it comes to criminal justice.
Jeff Thomas, did you think an amendment would be the star of the midterm election season or process, and what do you attribute that to?
I did. I was. Let me tell you, I'd rather talk about this. I know what time is short, and I was really disappointed about Amendment 1 because it seems to me that in this time
six
of criminal
one way,
justice,
half a dozen the
yeah,
other.
Criminal justice reform, and Amendment 2, we're tightening up jury selection, trials. To suddenly say that, okay, yeah, we're gonna, we know we've had some egregious things that happened in the past where, 40% of the people who mm-hmm. were found to actually be not guilty were convicted mm-hmm. in non-unanimous juries.
Right.
And to say, though, then that people who are coming out of jail can't run for office, can't do business with the state, to me, that seems to be an outlier.
Well,
I was really disappointed with that. The city of New Orleans voted better. I mean, it passed 57 to 43, whereas the unanimous jury was 85 to 15. But I was disappointed that people didn't – I don't think I did a good enough job, but people in general did a good enough job about getting that message out there.
I think Amendment number 1, they made it about politicians. They didn't take into consideration that man or woman – who was an ex-offender, who started their own business, who may want to hold a public appointment or a contract. And I think the supporters of Amendment number 1 you thought about people who violated the public trust.
And yes.
If you solely looked at it like that, then I understand how people voted because the argument didn't include all those other things about justice.
Absolutely. No, it was about public trust.
Right.
I think that's what
right.
the message that came across right. and that people need to earn that public mm-hmm. trust. And you're dealing with public money and taxpayers' money. And so,
but in actuality, it was bigger than that.
Yes, it was bigger than that. But I think that's the argument that won the day
right.
was the fact that this is a position of public trust and you need to earn that public trust before we put you back in office.
Right.
Yeah, and I see that's why it happened. I'm just disappointed, though, that
right.
the counter-argument wasn't more successful.
Now,
successful.
The trickiest amendment to me, I think it was 5, about the property tax. The property tax. How do you tell me that – that 20% isn't a hardship if my taxes go up, that it has to be
50%. You better pay it. You're going to lose your house if you don't.
Doc, everybody agrees. The folk I've talked to, even the folk who were supporting this, says we're probably going to have to do some work on this amendment. It's not the last time we hear or talk about it.
Yes, if you're I think it's if your evaluations go up 40%, you're paying that full 40%.
Exactly right.
49%.
Right. So
the magic number is 50.
So yeah, they're probably going to have to do something about that because someone's going to get hurt along the way, and they're going to be complaining very loudly about it.
And Jeff, you agree?
I agree 100%. And it passed overwhelmingly 65 to 35 here in the city, and I think the numbers were about the same in the state. And so it's important that we get this right because people shouldn't be suffering hardships who have lived in their houses for years and years and years and get hit with these astronomically huge bills.
Two big winners.
Okay, go ahead.
Two big winners, yeah. Bold and Soul.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. The rise of the political. You know, last time I was on a few elections ago, I talked about the demise of the political machine. Yeah, but now they seem to have come back up in this election. Maybe it's an outlier. We'll see going forward. But I it was good nights for both of those organizations.
So what does it say moving forward? John Bel Edwards in a purple state. Legislative elections coming up, Dr. Ed. Any impact there?
I don't think this has any real impact on the state elections. It's going to be separate from national politics mm-hmm. next year. I mean, that's the reason why we hold them in these off years, is that presidential politics isn't bleeding over into our state elections. He's going to run on his own record. His numbers are fairly mm-hmm. solid right now. But he's going to – I mean, it's going to be difficult for him to convince – a purple state, or we kind of shift from being a moderately red state to a very ruby red state.
Right.
So he's got to hopefully convince us to move into that moderately red area to be reelected.
Any political surprises that you see coming out with some of the study analyzations you've done recently?
Not really. We'll have to wait and see who decides they want to challenge the governor. I think, are we going to have a number of Republicans, or are Republicans going to rally around one single candidate? We have to wait and see what happens.
Jeff Thomas?
I agree. I think the governor's race is going to be big. There are also going to be some millage campaigns that are going to be interesting going forward. I know senior citizens mm-hmm. are going to have – there's right. going to be a millage about feeding seniors, that kind of stuff is going to be interesting.
Audubon Park, the zoo,
those millages
public
are going
playgrounds.
To be public playgrounds. It's going to be interesting to see if people are going to continue to tax themselves. And part of the problem is that we have a lot of taxes in the city, and it's why – property taxes are going up.
The mayor's going to be on with us this Friday. Huge win with her with traffic cameras. Mm-hmm. She seems to be doing pretty consistent, other than the sewage and water board and some of those bumps in the road. The public still seems to be rallying around her and real hopeful in terms of supporting her, Dr. Ed.
We're going to be releasing the results from our quality of life survey mm-hmm. shortly. We polled 500 people in Orleans Parish, and we did ask about the mayor's job approval rating.
Stay tuned.
We'll let you know what those numbers are.
Stay tuned. Jeff, what are you hearing on your blog? Think 504.
We're going to be putting out stuff about the budget going forward right. and some of these millage campaigns, and so people should read think504.com.
How can people get in touch with you?
They can email me at jeff@think504. Just go to the website. There's a contact us page button, and people contact me all the time. I have ongoing relationships.
And we got Think 504 apparel coming up, making folk think. You want to log in?
We are just finishing up the trademark right. stuff. I think right. we should have that finished by the end of this week, and we will have T-shirts for sale for everybody.
And, Dr. Ed, how can people keep in touch with you?
Just go to the University of New Orleans website for the Department of Political Science, and you can click on the link to the Survey Research Center.
Dr. Ed Chervenik, Jeff Thomas, Mr. Think504.com, thank you all so much. God bless you all for what y'all do. When we come back, David, who took on Goliath, the lens, versus Entergy.
They did a great job.
The people who broke the story. Charles Maldonado and Michael Stein said, "I told you so." And Goliath said, "No, it wasn't us. Who you going to believe, me and your lying eyes?" Well, guess what? We found out it was it was your lying eyes. We'll be back after the break.
All right.